Hello and welcome to the Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors. I am your primary host, best friend, and loyal TV watcher, Matt.
I was trying to think of another way to say primary, but I didn't have enough time to think because I was doing other things like opening up a document that we'll need at the end of this. But I'm Cliff. I'm a co-host too. The super primary host.
I was going to say the best equivalent word is auxiliary.
Nah, that won't work.
Yeah. Hey, Cliff, there was some TV stuff this week.
There's a lot of TV stuff this week.
It's getting to be that time of year again.
I really should catch up and watch the end of Flash and Arrow.
You really should.
And Supergirl. I haven't seen the endings of them yet.
Because you've got like a month till they come back?
Ah, that's plenty of time.
Well, it's taking you this long, so is it?
I mean, it is plenty of time. I only need 40 odd minutes to actually watch one of them. It's fine.
Well, yeah, it's good because there's new TV to distract you in the meantime instead. So the stuff that we've already been seeing, like Rick and Morty, which is still a good television show.
Is super, super dark. The darkest season and getting better.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it when I remember that it comes out because I've gotten really lax at remembering when TV shows come out in the last year. Which, I don't know if that's growth or just a complete loss of memory.
Boo-ans.
Yeah, I'll stick with that. So yeah, Rick and Morty, good. New TV that came out this week. Let's start at the start of the week. There was a new television show. It's an old one. You might have watched one of the older series of it, but it's not really that popular anymore. Star Trek?
I may have watched all of them. All of them. And actually attended some premieres to a couple of the Star Trek movies.
Nice. Yeah, it's been a while since there was a Star Trek TV show. I was gonna say
until Voyager stopped, but then I realized that there was that bullshit Enterprise show. And
there was that bullshit Enterprise show.
I wasn't particularly a fan of the Enterprise show. It especially outraged me when they brought the Borg into it. And just thinking about it just makes me angry and wanted to Hulk out and destroy shit. Well, but that it had its part. It had its moments, I suppose.
I started watching it on Stan, I think. I only got a few episodes in. They do the thing where they go through the decontamination chamber, which basically means the cast has to strip down every time. Which I was like, all right, yeah, this is a mid-2000s show, isn't it? But yeah, that show ended its fourth season in 2005. It has been 12 years, 12 and a half years, actually, since there was a Star Trek show on TV.
Just before we move away from the airlock scenes, I'm pretty sure they also had to apply various gels and lotions.
Yes.
As well. So, yeah. And there was something for everyone in that show.
The scene that I watched was the Vulcan lady, T'Pol.
Yep.
And the guy who went on to be a Wraith on Stargate Atlantis,
mm-hmm.
who had like the really southern accent.
They full got together in the show.
Of course they did. Yeah. They smeared creams on each other.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, being an American show, the show was just full of beautiful people. So beautiful people in decontamination rubbing gels on each other.
Yeah. I mean,
it's the essence of Star Trek. It's what Gene Roddenberry wanted.
Yeah. I wasn't disappointed to have like a greased up cowboy on my television set, but I mean, it's not really what I come to Star Trek for.
Exactly. I mean, if you want that kind of action, you just go watch like True Blood or some other random junk like that.
Never did finish True Blood.
Neither did I. When they started getting to the big fairy stuff, I'm like, oh, I'm out of here, because that was just junk.
I think I watched 5 minutes of the first episode of the final season and then didn't keep going from there. So it's just sitting there waiting for me one day.
Was it, did Lafayette's character, or did he die in it?
I have memories of it.
I think I stopped watching. Like, it was okay without him, but he was a great character in that show.
Yeah, the actor who played him died earlier this year.
Yeah, he did. That was really very sad. I saw him like, oh, shit, it's Lafayette. It was the best part of that show.
He sure was. The rant he did in, like, season one or two, where some redneck came into the diner and, like, called him a queer or maybe one of the worst words, that was great. But getting back to space, Star Trek Discovery started this week. With a two-part intro episode that we won't go too far because you know, it's brand new. We don't want to spoil it for anyone. But they don't go to the Discovery yet at all.
No. So it's a double episode pilot, basically.
Yeah.
And apparently the show is quite different to what we saw in the pilot.
Okay.
From what I've heard. Because, which is, yeah, I hope they do, because, yeah.
The premiere is kind of all about introducing the beginning of the Klingon Cold War, which was a long period in Star Trek history.
It was not so cold. It was fucking hot.
Oh, the end of the Cold War, then, I should say. Yeah, so kind of setting up the conflict, but not setting them up on the Discovery yet. So you sort of meet a couple of the key cast, but not the full suite. But it's a nicely diverse cast. I liked it. Like, women and people of colour and a scaredy cat prey alien.
The most interesting character in that show that I wanted to know more about was the weird robot head thing.
The robot head lady.
Yeah, and, okay, so I'm like, okay, that's like some sort of weird robot. I want to know more about that thing. And then you see them in the background of a shot once or twice. And then never again, and that was very sad.
Yeah, well, hopefully she gets rebooted into the Discovery's bridge, because, yeah, that would be good. Yeah, the main character, Michael.
So can we talk about the name for a second? So have they given any kind of explanation as to why the main character is called Michael? Because it just seems like a very odd pull.
It makes me wonder if it was originally cast as a male role, and then they just forgot to change the name when they found a better actress.
Mm, the only thing I can think of is that, because the main character, what you find out very quickly, so it's not really a spoiler, is the main character, Michael, who is sharpshooter from Walking Dead, Sasha, was raised by Vulcans. So the only thing I can think of is that the Vulcans didn't really know what human names are, but that doesn't actually work either, because of who she was raised by.
Yeah.
Spoiler, if you don't want to know, I'm going to say this in a second. She was raised by Sarek and his human wife, Amanda, who are Spock's parents.
Yeah, because apparently Sarek is the only Vulcan teacher in the entire Star Trek canon.
Spock then gets old and becomes the second Vulcan teacher.
So it's a family. He's the only teacher on Vulcan until he dies, and then his kid takes over.
It's just a very odd pull to have that name when they don't really explain why. Like, I haven't really heard anything about it. So like, this is Mike. I'm like, all right, cool. I actually kind of thought they were saying Micah for a while.
Yeah, Micah or Michaela.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because I know Michaela. So I thought maybe it was that, and there was just some sort of weird, like, because you got Michelle Yeoh, who was great, with the accent. So I just thought it was her accent saying like Michaela or something like that, and it just kind of drops and makes the end of it sound weird. But no, apparently it's Michael. Cool.
Yes. So that's a weird thing. But, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff. We get a new look at redesigned Klingons, who I'm not a fan of.
I don't much mind the very elaborate facial stuff. Like, they go... You can see that we've come a long way in terms of makeup and stuff like that over the years. Mm. From, like, you know, in the 60s, having no kind of makeup technology at all. And basically having them with a bit of like light boot polish kind of smearing over their faces, give them a darker complexion, that kind of stuff. You know, whatever, who cares? And then giving them that same dark complexion with some ridges in, you know, the 90s and stuff when we've come along. But now they're like super, super elaborate. They don't have ears. They have ear holes. They've got a double set of nostrils, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the design of all their stuff that really annoys the shit out of me. It's super elaborate, and it doesn't really seem very warrior functional at all.
Yeah, they're a warring race, but it's very ornate, very kind of decorative, where you'd think they would be way more kind of utilitarian.
It's just also intricate, and it looks also frail.
Like, it smacks of Egyptian a little bit. There's a lot of gold, and they, at the intro of the episode, they're putting a warrior into basically a sarcophagus. And I'm just like, this isn't not my Klingons.
Yeah, this is not the Star Trek you're used to, basically, short. In this double episode, anyway.
So, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see where they go with that. Like, if we're going to see more of a delve into the Klingon society. Because we only got bits and pieces of it throughout the previous series, and this is more tied to the movie chronology than the traditional TV chronology, which I hope it is, because otherwise this super pre-Enterprise show has a ship that has, like, holograms on the bridge and all this crap. They even mentioned that the ship in the premiere, the Shenzhou, is kind of out of date,
mm-hmm.
because it has, like, I couldn't hear what they were saying, but they said something about the transporters being old school.
Yeah, there was... they mentioned they give some sort of typical Star Trek tech term to, you know, the way that they, you know, the method behind the core mechanic for it. And that, yeah, it's not something that's used. It's been upgraded by Starfleet. So Starfleet no longer use that particular type of transporter tech.
Yeah.
I've got a newer version. And yet
this ship has like lens flares and hologram projectors and is set like years before even the Enterprise series, let alone original series.
Can we talk about the lens flares for a bit?
Yeah.
So there's a bit where everything goes super bright, and that is cool. The super brightness was very, very cool. And I'll allow that. I like it
whenever
a show
talks about lumens.
Yeah. So I'll allow that kind of lens flare part of the show. That's fine. I don't understand how it's considered functional to be on a super dark bridge and then have ultra bright point lights everywhere causing lens flares. How would you not get blind whenever you look in any direction by that kind of lighting?
And I mean, there's got to be like shutters that they can pull down at some point. You know, armoring for if they go through radiation or something like that. Because otherwise they're describing this as basically just glass that doesn't have like tinting on it.
It basically looked like it was glass. Like, cause typically in your Star Trek bridges, they have, it's a fully enclosed bridge.
Yeah,
with,
and it's just a screen.
A screen at the front. And of course the screen will camera from, you know, whatever's in front by default or whatever. But this is basically a window with then a HUD projected on it or in it.
Yeah.
Depending on how you want to, well, I guess, think about how the tech works. Yeah, but I guess they don't have blinds on it.
Yeah, they just pull the Venetians over, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
Although, as a side note, the one thing where that glass display thing was a benefit, I did like how they were... Like, the intro of the show is they found this weird object. They're trying to get a look at it, but it's, like, blurred out on all their sensors. So literally they pull out a telescope to look at it and just like stick it out the window.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that's kind of cute. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, that was kind of fun.
Yeah. So, I mean, it seems promising, but yeah, we haven't really seen what the show itself is going to be yet.
What did you think of Michael as a character?
A bit up and down, I found. I don't know if that's a legacy from remembering her from The Walking Dead and just hating her character. But I, the thing that did amuse me was they did a flashback to sort of just after her Vulcan upbringing when she was joining Starfleet, and she kind of had the Vulcan haircut, but it was asymmetrical. So I don't know if that counts as the Vulcan teen equivalent of rebelling, or if it's just, yeah, you're a black human woman. Your hair does not want to do Vulcan naturally.
Yeah. I thought that, I know this is the point of her character, but she just seems super annoying to me. Super arrogant, like she's basically just full of herself, and
she's very Vulcan.
Yeah, so I know that she's raised by Vulcans, so she's supposed to, you know, kind of pick up on all those Vulcanisms. Like, Vulcans are considered to be, or they come across as being very arrogant and all that sort of stuff as well. And you know, they think that they're better than you. Just because they're Vulcan and that's, they've got like a superiority thing. And that's just the product of what the Vulcans are. And so she obviously picks that up. But holy crap, if that's your main character, it could get super, super annoying. Unless they Jamie Lannister her, then this show is going to be very tough to watch.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if by the time we go into the next episode, there's been a bit of a time shift.
And she's dropped a peg or two. We won't say why, I guess, but... Because that spoils the pilot, but...
She pooped on the deck.
Yeah. It was weird. She, like, forced eye contact with everyone. It was... Yeah.
Yeah, it's a real non sequitur in the middle of the episode. But yeah, the next episode... yeah, see? You got there.
Mm.
Yeah, so I think the next episode comes out... Is it Mondays?
They're Mondays, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this episode later today, if you're listening to it as soon as it comes out, which you should be, you can watch the next episode on Netflix in Australia. We actually have an easier time of getting to the show than America does.
Yes, we do.
America has to do what you basically did with Game of Thrones. They have to get CBS All Access, which is a subscription service where I think you get the first two episodes for free and then pay after that. Whereas for us, it just drops into Netflix, so we don't have to worry about paying for another service.
Because Americans don't really care about international rights at all. As long as they make their money on home ground, who gives a shit?
Kind of funny that like half the debate about how good this show is in America from American sources has been like, is it worth investing in this show when you have to pay a separate subscription just for it?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, side note on that, actually. You know how there's a new Stargate series coming?
Mm-hmm.
So MGM have launched a streaming service for Stargate. Stargate World or Stargate something. I don't know, whatever.
It's something Stargate-y.
Yeah, when you sign up for it, you pay $20 for a lifetime subscription. So you can view all of SG-1, all of Atlantis, all of Universe, not the animated cartoon, because they're pretending that never existed. Funny thing, though, the website itself will be shut down in a year.
Okay.
So the streaming service will turn off forever. So that lifetime subscription of $20 sounds like great value up until you realize that it's the lifetime of the website, not the lifetime of the user.
That sounds like a lawsuit waiting to happen.
I mean, it's clearly disclaimed on the website. I found this out from a friend who actually signed up for it. Because I think when this new Stargate Origins is the name of the new series. I don't know what the streaming service is called. Streamgate, let's say. So I think Origins will become available on that streaming service. But then when that series runs its course, they're going to shut down the website. So it kind of seems like a bum deal. Because
I mean, it might be put on their website, but it sounds kind of shady. When you say lifetime, if you use the word lifetime, you are setting yourself up. Yeah. If you know that lifetime's only like a year, that's not really a... It's a pretty shady kind of deal.
Yeah, lifetime of the website. Subscription. I mean, and that's... Between those three shows, that's 17 seasons of TV plus three movies. So you're not reasonably going to be able to get through all of it, even in the lifetime of the website, unless you're just like smashing it. So yeah,
that seems kind of dodgy.
And you know what? I've got my DVD still sitting on my shelf. If I want to go back, I'll just watch those. It's fine.
I'll just watch them on Stan, because they're all on Stan.
Oh, are they? Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Maybe not Universe, but SG-1 is, for sure. Which is the one you want to watch. And then Atlantis, I believe, is on there as well. And that's, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah, really the only episodes you need to watch are the Time Loop episode and the 200th episode where they pitch all the different shows.
There's a bunch of great Jack episodes as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, before we move on to our other big TV premiere
Just before we leave Star Trek as well. Yes. There was one scene that I've absolutely loved, and that was where Mark was in the brig and the ship gets like shot, of course.
Oh, yep. And the debate with the computer.
Yeah, or the debate. Yeah, well, I didn't give a crap about the debate, but the shot of the tiny little like small cube that's been reduced to with the force shields, and then the camera pulls back out of the ship through the wrecked part of the ship, and it's like, yeah, that's actually like a great kind of shot.
Yeah, some really cinematic shots, lots of going through like screens and windows and stuff, which makes me wonder if the rest of the show will be as cinematic. I guess we'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, before we move on to our other big TV premiere of this week, let's take a side dive into video games. What have you been playing this week, Cliff?
Well, I played some PUBG for the first time in a couple of weeks, you know, because I've been sick and stuff like that. So I did that, and I played my first solo game and won it. So I got a chicken dinner straight up with a bunch of kills. Nice. Yeah. It came down to the very last circle, and I was behind... It was next to a road, so it was like the edge of a town. And I was behind some of those like metal barriers to stop cars from going off. And I was just laying behind it on the very edge of a circle, looking across the circle. And there was a whole bunch of places the other person could be. There was like a concrete wall. There was a bunch of barrels. There was like a couple of edges of houses in there. And I did not want to blow my cover at all. And just thought, well, I've got a bag full of meds, I will literally just stay here forever and just heal behind this, behind my barrier, and see if I can outlast the other person. And in the end, it came to, after sitting there for doing nothing for a few minutes in the final circle, it then said, you know, in 15 seconds, it's gonna, the circle's gonna progress in, and then I saw a dude run from his cover, obviously didn't have enough meds to outlast me, run out to the open, thinking they knew where I was, and I was not there, and I shot the shit out of him on one. So that was pretty fun.
Very nice. But
that's pretty much the only game, other than another game that we'll get to in a sec, I suppose.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it in a bit, but that's pretty much the only bit of gaming I've been playing.
I actually found out from a friend, someone he plays Plunk Bat with, got a rare loot drop that he sold on the marketplace for $1,000.
Wow.
Yeah, so that boy's in the money.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the things that would attract me to playing this game eventually, more than the actual game. I like hearing stories about it and seeing video, but I don't know if I'd stay invested in playing it unless I was getting paid large amounts of money.
Well, remember, it is a multiplayer-only online first-person shooter.
With no story.
No, there's no story at all.
Yeah, that shrinks my gaming boner a lot. What doesn't shrink my gaming boner a lot is the games I've been playing this week. I don't know if I mentioned last week, but I tied a bow on Dishonored Death of the Outsider. Very much liked it. So this week, a weirdly meaty release of games on the Switch eShop. 18 games dropped this week, where normally we get 2 or 3 if we're lucky. So it's just been this huge drop, some good, some bad, a lot I don't care about. But one of the ones I did care about, two of them, Picross S, which is just a Picross game for Switch. I love Picross. I will play it forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Up until I get to the hard levels, and then I stop playing it because I don't have time for that shit. I'll just wait for the next one to drop. The 3DS had Picross E, which was 7 games that got released over time with sort of puzzle sets at, you know, like $6 a pop.
Mm-hmm.
So I played a couple of those. It's just nice to have on Switch because it's really crisp. It's got some nice kind of jazzy thinking music, and it only costs like $12. So I will play that until I get bored of it. The other game, though, is one I was excited to have suddenly get a release date that was within a week of the announcement. Golf Story.
Yeah, I kind of want to play this game.
It is a lot of fun. It's basically a golf RPG where there's a story. You're sort of going around these different zones that are all themed. Like, you start in a generic golf course area. You go to a prehistoric land. There's a beach. There's a spooky forest. There's an area with birds, I guess. And an ice area. So you go around doing these golf things and all these mini challenges. You upgrade your skills at golf. You sort of get new gear in the form of golf clubs and skills, like being able to sort of power shot without hitting wind resistance. And it's all done in this really like nice, clean pixel art style. It also has really good HD rumble effects on the controllers. I've not really had any games on the Switch that have effectively used the rumble other than just rumbling, but this one uses all these kind of, you know, intricacies of the rumble ability that they talk about. There's lots of sort of feedback in different forms when you're going through conversations. So they might sort of yell loudly, it'll vibrate really hard. They might talk quietly, it kind of rumbles down. It does this thing where if someone says something where they're kind of embarrassed, the speech bubble kind of falls over, and you get this run of rumble down the controller as it falls, which is kind of cutesy. Also, you can just drop a golf ball anytime and start hitting it, which I really like. You can just smack it into people. Also, for some reason, there's an ability to just throw a golf ball, which I don't know if there'll ever be a game reason for that, but apparently the golf balls are infinite, because I sat there for about 2 minutes straight just throwing golf balls, and they kept coming, and they did not disappear. So,
I mean, if this was an Ubisoft game, it would have microtransactions to buy more golf balls, so you could throw them for no reason whatsoever.
Exactly. But yeah, this one does not. I really enjoy it. Like, the golf mechanics are pretty solid. You've got all the usual stuff: slopes, wind resistance, different clubs. You can control your swing pretty effectively, but there's still a bit of chance because it's one of those power bar type situations.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, it seems to have legs, and it's only $22. I think it's a Switch exclusive.
I'm pretty sure it is, yeah. Like, I'd like to play it, but yeah, I'm not going to buy a Switch for it.
Yeah, it's one of these games that just sort of popped up in Nintendo Direct, and I was like, that sounds ridiculous, and I will play it. And that's exactly what happened. So, good times. I'm interested to see how long it'll hold my attention. I've only spent a handful of hours with it so far. But it's got a pretty I'll get the sentence eventually.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I'm listening.
Pretty quick turnaround on golf courses. So that's one of the things that bogs me down with these kind of games. You know, going through the process just takes too long. So I get bored. And, you know, when you have an 8-hole course, I don't want that to take fucking forever. So they kind of go through at a pretty quick rate of knots, which is good. So, yeah. If you like golf, get it.
I do like golf games, but I'm not buying a Switch for it.
I'll let you play it next time you're near my Switch.
Which probably won't be for a long time.
I'm sure we'll run into each other in the next couple of weeks, Cliff.
Yeah, but not necessarily like at your house with time to play lots of games.
The Switch is a portable console.
But if I'm somewhere, I'm not going to play video games. I know that the Nintendo ads for what the Switch is has brainwashed a lot of people, but I'm not going to hang out with my friends and go, let's play video games while we're out doing another thing.
No, next time we're at D&D, we'll just go climb up onto Steve's roof.
We got no fucking time for video games. We've got to complete an entire campaign in 2 weeks, my friend.
Yeah, that's going
to
be fun.
We're going to have to stop going on tangents like we always do for half the time we're there. And we have to play the shit out of this game and finish the campaign.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of side distractions, let's get back on topic because we've been recording for almost half an hour. What is the other game that we've both been playing this week, Cliff? Because the stars aligned and the devil had his way, so we actually played the same video game.
I know, right? On different like platforms. So that's pretty cool. Mm. But we've been playing Ruiner.
Ruiner, which is a twin stick shooter. From Devolver Digital?
Yes.
And it is very red.
I like it.
The first thing. Yeah, I quite enjoyed it. You are this helmeted dude with a robot arm.
It reeks of a more futuristic lol face dude from that game that you like with the hacking. You know, hacking hipsters?
Watch Dogs?
Sure. You know the guy that's got the lol thing on his face?
Yes, Watch underscore Dogs 2. You're talking about Wrench.
Sure. He's got lol written on his face.
He does occasionally have lol written on his face.
But it's like that, but a more hardcore cyberpunk version. The whole game is cyberpunk if you don't know anything about this game whatsoever.
Yeah, like it's very dark. It's very red. There's a lot of red lighting, which is pretty cool. Twin stick shooter, kind of top down thing. You're running around shooting dudes. You get a bunch of different guns
or hitting them.
And hitting them. I do enjoy hitting them.
Mm.
So yeah, it's basically just survive, don't get killed, earn new abilities so you can survive better.
Pretty much, yeah. It's not exactly reinventing the wheel.
No, but it does do a pretty good job at kind of polishing the wheel.
Oh yeah, like it's good. I'm not a huge fan of twin stick shooters. Which is interesting, for other reasons. You know how I've been like ages ago, I mentioned I want to make a video game. A video game I'm actually kind of like designing that I've had the idea from my head is actually a twin stick shooter. So I'm not a huge fan, but I'm testing some stuff. I'm still kind of like doing it and messing around with stuff. But anyway, that's beside the point. I played with the controller, my Xbox One controller.
Yeah, same.
And I'm going to switch over, and next time I play, I'm going to play with mouse and keyboard.
I've been told that's a very bad choice.
I don't like using the stick when I'm shooting in that game, because it doesn't matter where I'm pointing, it seems to always miss the enemy when they move. I don't find the stick fast enough to where I want to shoot. And that's probably just because I'm configured for PC while shooting shit. Where my mouse my Twitch mouse movements are way better than my Twitch stick movements.
I'm playing on PS4, and I'm pretty comfortable with the PS4 controller. It seems like kind of the radial movement on the right analog stick, controlling your sort of facing direction, there is a bit of slowdown on it from an actual design point, where it takes you a second to kind of swing your gun around, so they're kind of encouraging you to be prepared about where you're going next, rather than kind of run, turn around, then hit dude. But yeah, like I'm enjoying it. I didn't get a huge amount of time with it this week, but I really like the music design in this game. Oh,
the music is fantastic.
The soundtrack is fantastic. Yeah, and the overall aesthetic, kind of with the pop-up cutscenes, all that stuff. Whenever you go from
one section to another, it's kill the boss.
Yes, I really enjoyed the kind of the pop-ups going, hey, remember your objective with this cool hacky thing?
It reminded me of older games where they did that kind of stuff, where you'd have things like you're playing like Streets of Rage and stuff like that, where you complete an area and then you have the thing on the screen that says like go and points to the side of the screen you're going to go to. It reminded me of that, but like a modern updated version that then also fits in with the style of the game and like your purpose. So you keep getting reminded by the hacker that's hacked your brain to kill the boss, whoever this person is.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to putting a bit more time into it. I just like that there's a level of detail in there. Like, the game's mostly overhead. You're not seeing your character in kind of stark relief most of the time. But they've kept a lot of detail in the character models, so when it does kind of zoom into a more cinematic perspective for cutscenes and kind of scene transitions and stuff, you can see that there's a level of quality there. It's not just, like, minimum amount of work to make it work for most of the game.
No, The game itself is extremely pretty and runs very well.
So yeah, it's good. It's on pretty much everything: PC, PS4, Xbox One. I honestly wouldn't be surprised to see it come to Switch eventually, because that would be a really good game to play on the move. I'm finding more and more that I'm judging games I play based on how fun they'd be on the Switch, because it's just so convenient.
There's lots of you're in lots of little sections, and assuming the checkpoints each little section, it makes it very easy to just to play a couple of levels on a bus, and then you can you finish a section, and or if you're halfway through a section, you're like, oh, whatever, it's like 2 minutes of gameplay, it's fine, I'll just play it again.
Yeah, it's good kind of bite-sized combat scenarios, so it's not these kind of protracted things where you've got to survive. Other than kind of the boss fights there. They're a little bit of slog, but of course they are their boss fights.
I really like it. I want to see what it's like with the mouse, because I don't find the analog stick movement. Well, I don't find that I'm good enough to make the quick and accurate movement. I find that I'm always in the ballpark, but never actually pointing exactly where I want it to point in the split second you have before you get shot. So I want to see if it makes it easier for me to control with the mouse. So that's pretty much my only gripe with it, and that's only because that's just a thing that I've always had with twin-stick shooters. I like melee games like Mr. Shifty and stuff. That was kind of cool. But I like the melee in this game, so I use primarily melee in this.
Really enjoy sort of doing the dash melee,
where it
kind of swings while you're dashing, which is a cute little inclusion to sort of smack a couple dudes in a row if you're lucky.
Yeah.
The twin stick thing, I enjoy it overall. It does need to have some sort of hook beyond just generic kind of
it would twin be stick shooter easier for it if to be it worth. Had, I don't know what it's like on PS4, but if it had a like a lock-on, if it had an auto-aim to it, it would make it a lot nicer to play, a lot smoother. Because you would point in the general direction, but then it would actually just, like, suck your gun to the enemy you're, like, pointing, you know, you're pointing at or near. That would make it a lot nicer. Like I said, I don't know if that's on PS4 or not, but it's not on PC. It doesn't seem to be on PC.
I wouldn't say it was on PS4. I mostly enjoy it. It's just, given that it's not sort of true top-down, it's kind of angled camera. It's
kind of like isometric.
A little bit, yeah. I find it a little bit hard to precision aim, but that's always my problem, so I don't think it's unique to this game. It's quite enjoyable. I'm looking forward to putting a bit more time into it.
Stylistically, it's amazing.
Oh, yeah, like the look of it, the aesthetic is fantastic. It's kind of one of these games that I'm keeping on there for my potential offline time once I move interstate next month. Just kind of got a little backlog of games that I can chip away at before I can get back into the interwebs. So that's kind of the games we've been playing this week. Mm-hmm. So let's swing back to television, because there was a second premiere of a TV show that we actually watched today, day of recording. Marvel's Inhumans. That was a television show.
It was alright. I'm going to throw out probably an unpopular opinion. I liked it more than the Star Trek premiere.
I didn't. I didn't hate Inhumans. I didn't love it.
I find it's an odd choice. This might just be my ignorance of the source material, but is Hawaii in any way special to the Inhumans?
No.
Cool, so looks pretty.
I think there's tax breaks for filming there.
I imagine on IMAX it looks very pretty.
I feel like if the two-part premiere, sort of the first and second episode for TV, was released as basically a mini-movie in IMAX for screenings 2 weeks before this. It didn't feel cinematic enough to warrant the IMAX screen.
No, it didn't. Like, but I guess it was. There's tons of beautiful vista shots. I'm assuming that those are the big draw cards in IMAX, because there's a lot of them in this show. Every second, every setup shot, every scene change shot is like one beautiful, like gorgeous shot of like, here's like a great crater in Hawaii, and here is a great set of cliffs next to a beautiful beach in Hawaii, and here's like a crazy like jungle forest in Hawaii.
Yeah. So it looked good, but it's just like the episode one opened with kind of a chase scene in a rainforest. Just didn't feel very action-y. It was a lot of shots that were kind of static and showed that, for instance, the girl who was running away from her attackers wasn't really running that hard.
No. That's a problem that a lot of TV shows have. You see them, they show like a close-up of people running, and it's like, okay, yeah, that's cool, that they're running, and then you see a longer shot, and they look fucking ridiculous when they're running.
Yeah.
Actors don't know how to run properly. I don't know what it is. They just all look dumb when they run.
Hey, I think Tom Cruise is the winner of celebrity running because he karate chops the air.
I mean,
that makes you go faster.
Yeah, they just don't look like they're running with any desperation. They just look like they're running for a shitty Nike commercial or something. That's what it looks like.
The tight camera angle and kind of the shaking the camera really sort of accentuates kind of, oh yeah, this is action, as opposed to just focusing on them kind of half-heartedly jogging.
Yeah, when you have a still shot from further away, like steady cam shot from further away, they look silly. All actors do it.
So the Inhumans, I'm reasonably familiar with them because they've kind of taken prominence in comics in the last few years. The characters as portrayed vary in how accurate they are. So they're kind of doing their own thing, which it's the same as S.H.I.E.L.D. and all that.
Like,
so
the MCU is a departure from, like, they borrow the source material, they take certain parts of it, but they make their own shit. So Captain America and Iron Man and everything like that in the movies is not the stuff from the books, not directly. So it's okay, they're doing their own thing, they're setting up their own kind of thing.
Yeah, the thing is, the Inhumans have classically been... Like, if mutants occasionally have someone who looks radically different to humanity, the Inhumans almost always look radically different. So that was kind of lacking. There was a lot of peoply people.
With a few little ridges. Like, they had the 90s Star Trek prosthetic thing ridges. On. They have, like, a little thing here and there. Like, the one guy's got tattoos on him.
I noticed one guy who just had ridges on, like, his wrists. And you really only saw them in the background of a couple of shots. He was the dad of the two, right? Yeah, he was the dad of the two kids who go through Terra Genesis.
I got the impression that he was using his hands to mine. So I'm assuming that he's like...
Yeah.
What's his face with the... Mr. Tumnus? How he's... When you see him, he's got the goat legs and the hooves and stuff. So when you see him from a long shot, you're like, okay, he's radically not... He's clearly not just a normal human dude. He's like half like horseman or goat man. I got the feeling the other guy was probably similar with his arms. Like, if you saw him standing there from further away, like, he would look clearly not human. But you only see him in a dark mine in, like, a second in a background shot, so...
He was there in the scene where they go through Terra Genesis, and after the kids go in the magic tanks to get their superpowers, you see him kind of grab them each by the shoulder to lead them away, and then you can see them because his sleeve rides up, but that's about it.
So they leave a lot of that sort of stuff in the background. But I mean, you know, you got to keep costs down in these shows. It's a TV show after all.
Yeah, it just disappoints me that Triton, who's a fish man, for one thing, he can't breathe on land. He's meant to be wearing a sort of water filtration thing over his face to make him look really cool and have a big fin rather than just like a nipple ridge on the top of his head.
I mean, he might Zoidberg it up and like might flick up.
Maybe. But he was the most prostheticified actor and you only got him for a couple of minutes and then he's written off for the rest of the premiere. So your choices are Gorgon.
Yeah, he's not Mr. Gorgon. Thomas. Yeah.
Gorgon, which is awful pronunciation. I hate it. Who does have goat legs and he can do big stompy attacks. But at one point, he's running through the jungle and he's apparently put on normal human hiking boots to go undercover, yeah. Which his legs would not work in.
No, I thought that was weird as well when I saw it.
And it was just so they didn't have to do kind of an action shot with his CG legs. You've got Crystal, whose hair looks terrible with the weird painted on stuff, which has always been like a big hair clip.
She was not also a very compelling actor either.
No, she wasn't. She did not have any strong emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Karnak, who doesn't look anything like Karnak, and doesn't really make a big deal of the fact that his inhuman power is detecting the weakness in all things. He just kind of comes across like an arsehole.
And then you get very confusing accounts of what, when he uses his power, you just,
yeah.
So I don't really understand. He can see things, but you don't really know what those things are.
They've kind of projected it as him kind of predicting the outcome of events. But no, his thing is that like he just inherently knows the weakness of all things, which used to be his inhuman power. But in recent comics, they've kind of retconned that in that he never went through Tenogenesis. He just learnt a lot about how to kind of undo everything. And if you want to read a comic about Karnak, read the short 4-6 issue run called Karnak from earlier this year, late last year. It's a self-contained story, and he uses his powers in some bullshit crazy ways. At one point, he's fighting a dude, and he knows that his weakness is so-and-so pressure point on his body, so he taps it, and the dude fucking explodes.
That's very, very cool.
He wrecks some shit, but then he'll also know how to find the weakness in a building, or a weakness in someone's argument, and all this kind of stuff. He can just break anything down. And they've kind of portrayed him as mildly sadistic, but definitely a little bit sociopathic.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes him an interesting character, whereas this guy just comes across like a jerk.
A bit, yeah.
And then you've got Black Bolt, who actually, does his shouty thing.
I really liked Black Bolt. He was great.
I really liked that they had him doing ASL, American Sign Language, because traditionally he just kind of looks meaningfully at things and Medusa just knows what he's thinking. Having him actually communicate was really cool.
Yeah, it was. And, he was probably the best part of the show, I thought. He was great. Yeah,
good subtle acting, just with minor facial expressions. And I am curious to see if he's using pure American Sign Language or if they've done some sort of, you know, inhuman offshoot like based on sign language. Yeah. In the same way that they invented Dothraki for Game of Thrones. Because it'd be cool if you're a person who can sign who might be able to see some of what he's saying, but not all of it. Because for the rest of us kind of mere pleb audience members, we only know what he's saying if someone kind of repeats it. Mm. So it'd be cool if they've added that level of detail that even if you can read sign, you're not necessarily going to see something that everyone else doesn't.
Yeah. But he was definitely the highlight of the show.
Yeah. Medusa's hair didn't look too bad in the end.
Her hair was perfectly serviceable. Her hair looked better than the dog, I thought, in places. The dog he looked good, but then in other spots, you're just like, whoa, that was not very good.
I mean, a giant teleporting bulldog is a big ask of a TV budget. He's decent. I kind of hated the title sequence of the show, though.
With the symbols.
All the symbols of the different characters, and then it's the logo, and a cartoon Lockjaw pops in and teleports it away. That just looked hokey as shit.
Oh, in another throwback to Star Trek, I hated the intro to Star Trek Discovery.
Really? I liked it. The blueprint thing.
Like, it was... Like, the music, it seemed like it was only half of the song. It seemed like they left out the other half of the song that went with it. It just seemed very patchy. I didn't enjoy it in any way. I was like, oh, this is kind of weird. The visuals were fine. I didn't mind the visuals. It was just the music. It seemed like half a track.
I did really enjoy, like, the sting of the traditional kind of Star Trek theme right at the end.
I think
that was cool.
I think that was what made it seem like half a track, is because they kind of half used. Like, they're like, oh, this is like the Star Trek kind of theme, the original theme. People kind of know it, but they didn't really they didn't seem to build off it. They were just like, oh, look, here's a bit of it. Yeah. And it's like, ah, yeah. Anyway, back to Inhumans.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a lot of place setting in this episode, or episodes. Not a lot of people using their powers, and those who did didn't really give an explanation of how they work. So, for someone unlike me who doesn't have some sort of core familiarity with the TV show, I don't know how well that would have played.
Like, what is the deal with... What's even the point of guns? Where everyone's basically a superhero on the moon. What is the point of guns?
Well, kind of the angle that they were taking in the comics a couple of years ago when they started to bring the Inhumans more to prominence is that because they've been kind of self-contained on the moon in Adalan for so long, there's kind of been a declining level of quality in the Inhumans. So, like, the powers are less prevalent, less interesting, less kind of unique, and the race is basically slowly dying off as more and more people don't develop powers.
Right,
so
gotcha.
They, Black Bolt pulls some shit, crashes Adalan into the Hudson River, and becomes sort of an independent city-state in the middle of New York, and then drops...
Because New York needed more stuff crammed into it.
And he sort of unleashes a Terrigen cloud that starts kind of roaming across the planet, sort of activating all these latent Inhuman descendants, which is cool and then turns out to be poison to mutants and generates the next big conflict in Marvel. But it also meant that they could bring more Inhumans into kind of the fray and into the fore of the comics. Because, yeah, they were just getting shitty. Because the traditional Inhumans, there's some wild stuff. There's Medusa with the magic hair. There's Black Bolt, who a whisper can blow a country away. There's Maximus the Mad, who in the comics has mind control powers. So I don't know if they're going to play that up in the TV show or not.
Well, they play him as effectively a squib.
Yeah.
In the show. But I have a feeling that he's hiding a power.
Oh, yeah. I reckon my kind of belief is that he does have the mind control powers and he's just mind controlled everyone to not reveal it so that he can kind of power play in the background. So you've got them. Triton is a fish man. Gorgon is a stomp man. Crystal is one they didn't really explain very well. She's an elemental, so she can control fire, water, lightning, and air.
Because she has basically a bit where she was like freezy stuff.
Which yeah, she like down, freezed.
And then she had the fiery, like, shooting fireballs from her fingers. Finger guns.
Pretty much. Lockjaw is a teleporting dog, but I don't know if they've ever revealed whether he started as a dog and it was an Inhuman dog, or if he was a person.
Yeah, that seems a dog. Like a bit of an outlier. If he's not if he's not a human that became a teleporting dog, like, what the fuck is he even?
He's an Indogan. In canine?
And an adorable add-on to the show to lighten the mood.
He became Ms. Marvel's sort of sidekick dog in the comics, which was fantastic. So you've got them. You've got Eldrak, the living door, who is a dude who inhumaned into a literal door, who just teleports people where they need to be.
But apparently it hurts when he does it.
Yeah, apparently. Don't think they ever played that up in the comics. That might be new. Auron, who is kind of the second in command to Maximus in this, has sound control powers in the comics, so I don't know how that translated to what she can do in the TV show.
So she got stabbed up a bunch, right?
Spoilers. In the show. Spoilers.
Meh. It's fine.
Yeah. So
you're gonna get some spoilers because we're talking about this show, so you're gonna get some spoilers.
Yes. It's important to warn people about that after the fact.
Yeah. People know what we do. It's not exactly that's not exactly a massive spoiler of the thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, so they're kind of the main crew. Then a lot of the sort of other known Inhumans in the comics are the new humans, like the ones that got generated on Earth. So I don't know if they'll build towards that, because the creators have claimed they've got 3 seasons worth of stuff kind of in the tank, but no one's even confirmed whether or not the show's been cancelled, so... We'll have to wait and see if any of that pans out.
Yeah, I guess we'll see how it goes on. There is a couple of things I wanted to talk about, though. First of all, I guess they're not doing the whole Medusa can change the length of her hair at will.
Yeah, I was a little bummed about that.
So, I mean, that's interesting, though, because, I mean, it does... the way they've done it in this, it means that she does have a weakness, which is kind of cool. It's a very Samson and Delilah kind of weakness. So that's kind of interesting. So I'll give them that. Like, they've just basically gone, like, this is how she works in the show. Cool.
Yeah.
Boy, does she look great with what they do with her. I think she pulls it off.
Yeah.
She totally pulls it off.
It's not something that would work for every actress, but yeah, she does a pretty good job.
So I thought she was probably the second best part of the show.
Yeah. She doesn't quite measure up yet to comics Medusa, because in the comics, Medusa basically kicked Black Bolt out, became the sole queen, divorced him, and became a really strong leader in her own right. Also, when she goes into combat, she, like, wraps her hair around herself into armor and fills it with spikes so she can just, like, flail people to death, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So, overall, I'm kind of positive about the show.
I mean, we'll see. The bit that is the most annoying by far is that there's some pretty weak acting in there.
Yeah.
That seems to be the down bit. Now, apart from that, the story is perfectly serviceable.
Yeah, we seem to have a human stand-in in the face, in the form of this space research lady who will be like the audience stand-in.
So that was the second part of what I was going to talk about. This is going to touch on some stuff that I've bitched and moaned about before. But okay, so just to set this up, this is in the MCU / Shieldiverse, right?
Yep.
Cool. So, how the fuck are we still having people saying, you're crazy for predicting silver, for even suggesting that some crazy thing might happen? Fucking hell, it annoys the shit out of me. You literally are living in a world where you know the Avengers exist. Magic gods are coming to the Earth. Giant green men smashing the shit out of everything. Alien invasions from alternate, like, dimension-y, portal-y things. And yet...
robots overtaking entire countries.
Exactly. And yet, the possibility that there's some, like, shit on the moon, there's some, like, teleportation involved. Like, we've seen a giant, massive portal in the sky of New York. And yet, the possibility of a teleportation and something weird going on the moon, when you see, like, something destroy, like, you actually see something destroy your moon rover.
Yeah.
And yet, that's batshit crazy. I've got to fire you, lady. Fucking hell, can we stop with this bullshit sci-fi trope? Please.
Yeah, it could have been better handled. But yeah, she'll be the audience insert who gets to meet all of the Inhumans and give them a chance to explain how it all works. It's just a pity that they didn't do some of that work in the premiere, because you need to catch people in the premiere, otherwise you lose your audience.
Also, can we stop having humans inserted into shows all the time like this?
Yeah.
It annoys me. Like, the Transformers movies suffer massively from it. No one cares about the humans in Transformers.
Or whichever actress Michael Bay currently has a boner for.
Yeah, I don't like that either. Like, you don't have to focus on human characters in it. You can still bring in the human element by having the events shaped by things the humans might be doing, but you don't need to focus on a human character. It's dumb.
It's a waste of our screen time.
It's called Inhumans, Not Humans. Yes. That's a different show about different things.
I'll give it a couple of episodes before I make final judgment, but I can't say I'm enraptured just yet.
Admittedly, S.H.I.E.L.D. had some pretty rough stuff as well. And they finally, it took them a couple of seasons to really get to some great stuff with Ghost Rider and things. So, we'll give it a chance. Like, just like Star Trek, we'll see how it goes in the next few episodes.
Yeah. Well, given that we're quickly creeping up on an hour, there's just a couple of bits of news I also wanted to kind of quickfire through.
Mm-hmm.
So, firstly, Splatoon 2 has its next kind of voting platform thing. So, there was the Chips and Nuggets one, and like Flight and Invisibility.
Condiments.
Condiments. Tomato sauce, ketchup or mayo. The current one in European markets is about toilet paper. Does it go over or under on the roll?
This is not a poll. It goes over the top and droops down.
Thank you.
That is the correct answer. There is no other answer. The original patent shows over the top.
Yes, I was going to say. Not only does it make sense, the original patent for toilet paper shows it going over the roll, not under. If you're doing it under, you're making it harder to get the toilet paper. What are you doing, Amy? Wrong.
So your sister is not a human being?
My sister is a garbage person. I used to think it was our third housemate who kept turning the role around, but he's not around anymore, and it's still happening, so I no longer love my sister.
Well, I mean, it's a good thing you're moving away from her, isn't it?
Yeah. And pending the outcome of that particular poll, I will learn whether the most of the planet is garbage or not.
I mean, the rest of the planet is garbage, but...
That's true.
Yeah. That's not a poll. That's not a real poll, people.
We'll have definitive proof, though, once we get the results of that. Other stuff... the SNES Classic came out this week.
Yay!
Did not actually have the shortages they were expecting. Reports from both America and Australia show that department stores and game stores had a surplus of stock, so it was not this desperate grab to get units. Also, the unique draw of the SNES Classic was Star Fox 2. That is a game that was never released, so this is the first time that it's become available, and the only way that it's available, except, oh wait, someone's already pulled the ROM off the unit and it's available on the internet.
What Nintendo are doing here, it's the exact same as the NES Classic, is it is just a nostalgia grab. It, in my opinion, it costs too much. It's not worth it. It is a cool thing to have, but you'll play it for a few bits, for a few days, a couple of weeks maybe, and then you won't ever touch it again. They don't have wireless controllers.
They already have been making them.
The people are making them, but just why? I assume that it would drive the price up even further. And yeah. People would just be like, well, it's already too expensive as it is. I mean, those games are cool, but for the most part, when you go back and play them, they suck. Like, they're just hard to play for all the nostalgia
that they $120, have. And it doesn't have Chrono Trigger. Waste of money. End of story. In more exciting news, there was a trailer for a video game that came out this week. Red Dead Redemption 2.
I haven't actually watched the trailer yet.
What is wrong with you?
Well, if I watch it, I'm just going to get super sad. It's not out right now.
Yeah, it's confirmed it's being released next year. So we pretty much knew that already, but now it's confirmed. It's a very good trailer.
Did they have the date
the
on
facial...
it?
No, it just said 2018.
Ah, okay, yeah, so the end of 2018 then.
Quite possibly. It was already delayed from end of this year into next year. So I would expect it either...
It'll be this time next year.
It could be March-ish as kind of the earlier rush. Or, yeah, it could be more of a September release. The rumors that
came out like last week or the week before or something was it won't be this financial year in the US. So late next year.
Not surprising. I mean, it's been this long. What's another fucking year? But yeah, the character animation looks really good. The environments, of course, look amazing. I am looking forward to it.
I'll buy the shit out of it in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Yeah. And as expected, it is in fact a prequel to Red Dead Redemption. It's about the gang that John Marston was hunting down during Red Dead Redemption. So it's them kind of cavorting across America, like doing crimes and having good times. So yes, watch it already, Jesus.
No, it'll just make me sad.
Yeah, I know, that's why I want you to watch it.
Nope.
In other news, Swery, who has been working on his next game, The Good Life, which is the game where you turn into cats, has announced that in addition to the game that was revealed as part of his FIG campaign to raise funds, where you and all the residents of this British village turn into cats at night and you can explore and do cat things, they're also going to make a dog version, where everyone turns into dogs.
Werewolves.
Which will have unique gameplay elements. So, like, cats can climb walls and, you know, do cat stuff. Dogs can dig holes and sort of follow scents and shit on doorsteps, I guess. So he's announced basically an entirely separate version of the game, but you don't get both. You pay for one. Unfortunately, his FIG campaign is currently at $286,000 out of a goal of $1.5 million.
How far through?
So, 19% of goal with 11 days left.
Ooh, that ain't gonna happen.
Yeah. I mean, FIG is a platform where sort of corporate investors can invest large sums in order to then get sort of a share of the profits.
Mm-hmm.
But unless they've got an investor in the bag just waiting to drop, depending on how much support they get publicly, this game is not looking like it's going to happen anytime soon. And yeah, he's been announcing all these batshit things in the campaign. There's a tier you can pay where every day or every couple of days, Swery sends out a photo of a cat. And I guess now a photo of a dog. You can get a version where you get a book of cool cat photos that Swery65 himself has taken. It's ridiculous, and it's not going to make its target, and I don't know why they're adding more stuff. They should be reducing their scope, if anything. Also, the game, from what little footage has come out, does not look good. It's this very kind of low-poly art style, which I have nothing against, but
doesn't all really of the work.
It's just all the footage they've shown of it has had very bad frame rates.
That's real bad.
I mean, I know it's prototype stuff, but still, like, it's basic enough that if you've got a decent engine, like, some, like, solid 60-frame footage shouldn't be hard to get.
And, yeah, you tweak the shit out of it so that you can, you make sure you get full frames.
Exactly, for your demo reel. You're giving a vertical slice, like, you're meant to be optimizing what little you show. So, that game's gonna fail. I might still back it, because they tend to, with these things, keep campaign updates going for a while. So I would be interested to see what kind of the reaction will be when it does not happen. Or if it does go ahead because suddenly $1.25 million drops in from a pre-prepared investor, how that reaction will go
down. Plus you're addicted to backing stuff and it's about cats.
All right, come on. Yes. In other weird video game news, which is kind of the last thing I have, I don't know if we talked about it on the show previously, but for Middle Earth Shadow of War, a while ago, after one of the key developers on the game passed away, the team announced that there would be a DLC added to the game with an orc based on the developer, who would come in and sort of assist you in combat and stuff. And they were sort of saying that all profits for the DLC would be sent to a foundation to support the family of the man who passed away. But the fine print on those announcements indicated that only the profits of US sales would go towards this foundation. Kind of specifically outlined that and didn't say what would happen to the profits for rest of world. Also, why it had a cost in the first place. And yeah, it was this very kind of conditional thing saying that the developers would donate money to this foundation based on how many people bought the DLC. Did not go down well with people, because you could just as easily go and independently donate to this sort of fundraising thing. So they've come back now in the last week and said, okay, we fucked up. That was a dumb way to do it. We always meant that all profits would go from whole world sales towards them. But now everyone will get the DLC for free, and the company is just going to make a sort of bulk donation towards the family.
I assume
which is
the,
what they should have done.
I assume the T's and C's were probably just like a legal thing. Like they had the legalized stuff,
yeah,
for the legal system for the US sorted, but because you got to worry about all the like all the different laws, like there's all different laws about charities and stuff all over the world, that it's just they didn't have that set up at that point. So they couldn't cover their ass. I'm assuming that was probably the case, but it doesn't sound good.
The phrasing was not good. Like, it specifically said funds of US sales of this DLC.
That's what they should totally do. If they want to do it properly, they'll say, here's the foundation. You make a donation to the foundation, and the foundation sends you a key, and the key unlocks your DLC.
Yeah. That's a better way to do it. I mean, even better, like, yeah, it's cool that they're making, like, a lump sum donation towards the family. That's great. Why not just say you're going to give 0.5% of the profits of the game to the family? That's gonna, like, for a worldwide release, that's still gonna be a healthy chunk of change. Doesn't take much out of your pocket, and makes it seem less like it's this kind of conditional support of a family that's in mourning. It was just a bad way to handle it. So I'm glad they've backpedaled, and sort of made this DLC available for everyone as more of a kind of honoring the developer rather than conditional support of his family. But yeah, it's just, you'd think they would have maybe tested the waters of that before going public with it and seeing that it was a very bad idea. Because if there's anything gamers like to do, it's pick apart good intentions.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much all the news I have for this week. I wrote the word book in my list. I don't know what that's about.
I finished reading a book.
Oh yeah,
part
there
two
we go.
Of a series. Remember the series or the book I was reading where it was the alternate to evolution, or like alien races and
yes.
stuff would uplift other races
they
found around the place? It's the sequel to that one. So this one takes place a couple of hundred years later. It takes place pretty much entirely on another planet. Basically, humans find evidence of what seems like the progenitors, the guys that uplifted the original kind of races in power. Like these guys are the ones that started everything. And because there's a whole bunch of weird religions and stuff about these progenitors, a whole bunch of these super powerful aliens, like ancient races, the ones kind of in charge, they want this information that the Earthlings have, of course. So they're trying to hunt them down, destroy them, torture them, get all the information out of them, and then trying to use it for their own kind of agenda. So there's a whole group of races that have variants of this progenitor religion kind of thing going on.
Right.
They're after it. It's heavily features dolphins, uplifted dolphins, because humans have uplifted chimps and dolphins. So this is the first dolphin ship. So it's run by dolphins. They speak this weird, like, they speak angelic, which is like a version of English, but designed to be spoken by modified dolphins. They also speak a thing called like trinary, which is like a whistling, clicking thing, which is more like dolphin stuff. And they speak in haikus. So that's pretty cool. So there's it's very like poetic, and the imagery and stuff is kind of cool in it. And then they speak, there's another language called primal, and it's considered more like dolphin language before they were uplifted. And they have to, the dolphins, you find out, have trouble if they panic. They slip back into primal, and it's hard to, you have to then like settle them back down again. And kind of, and you effectively, like, the idea is you effectively have to like slap them out of it. Like they're getting like the classic, like, you know, this woman's getting hysterical, so you slap her and she breaks out of it. It's kind of a spin on that, but they, it's an actual kind of like mental thing, where they're still improving the genetics of the dolphins.
Right.
So they haven't kind of like, they haven't been around long enough to be able to fully control their own minds yet. They're still a very young race. So they have this kind of thing when they, you gotta, if they slip back into it, they have to try very, very hard to break them out of it. You don't slap them, of course, but you have to, yeah, like you have to break them out. So it's a very, very cool book. Super, super interesting. You find out that dolphins, just like people, are assholes. So some are very nice, some are not very nice. Yeah, it's very, very, like, super, super interesting. And you can find that there's all kinds of, like, conspiracy shit going on as well. So I'm definitely going to get the next book. But I finished that. I would definitely recommend it. It's called, let me turn around and have a look, Star Tide Rising.
There you go. Cool. Well, oh, one other bit of news that I forgot to mention. It's just a passing aside, but Stardew Valley has gone through the approvals process and been accepted for the Switch, so it'll be available on the Switch at some time soon. It's very exciting for me.
Sweet. Does it have multiplayer yet?
I think it will launch with multiplayer on it or soon after release for the Switch version they were talking about.
Right.
I think there was maybe some new details dropped about the new sort of Magic School game for the Chucklefish Games team, but nothing hugely different from what we've already discussed. So Stardew Valley on Switch, I can't wait to play it.
Yay. I thought of another thing. Skyrim is getting a survival mode.
Yes, I saw that.
Interesting.
That's interesting.
You have to eat, and there's no fast travel, so you got to run everywhere. It's kind of cool.
Also, they added Skyrim to the coming soon section of the Switch eShop. The screenshots look too good to be true. Like, it's just too much detail. I don't know how it's going to work on Switch, but I'm excited to find out.
Did they maybe use PC screenshots for it?
If they did, they wouldn't be the first game to do that, because Troll and I used a PS4 screenshot, which was very obvious because the rest of them were Switch screenshots and looked dramatically shitter. Also, that game was really shit. Don't buy it.
I'll take away for it.
Yeah. Just remember, when you don't have a Switch, also don't buy Troll and I for Switch. It's expensive, it's terrible, it's buggy. It's just a complete crap bag of a game. And on that note, thank you for listening to The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors, where we actually talk about something besides game for once. So you're welcome.
Woohoo! If you like our opening and closing music, it's Fuck Sidechain Compression on Game Boy by Rocco W. You can go to Bandcamp and a whole bunch of other places around on the internet to find it. Definitely give it a check out if you and check out his other stuff if you like that that music.
You certainly can. You can also find us online at indoorsmanpodcast.com or at indoorsmanpod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The third of which is where you can view our weekly cover art, which is very good.
If you want to get in contact with us directly, you can get to me at CliffAndMonkey and Matt at Ponk on Twitter. And if you want to actually like send us an email or whatever, you can get us at contact@indoorsmanpodcast.com.
Yeah. And hey, if you know of good video gamey stuff in Melbourne, let us know, because I will be moving there, and also we will both be going there next month for PAX. So if there are good sites to check out, we already know about Acme, thank you, but the rest would be good to know. Also, if you know any good tattooists, tell me, because that's just a personal interest of mine.
But for now, he's been Matt.
And he has been Cliff. And by endorsement tradition, we will sign off by saying...
Recommend me a book to read.
Recommend Cliff a book to read. I recommended A Nancy Boys, which is a book he already owns and showed to me on camera, and then said he didn't want to read because he's
I didn't say I didn't want to read it. I said I'm kind of leading... I've also got Man in the High Castle.
Philip K. Dick is great. Just watch the TV show.
Read the books. Books are king. Books are like the glorious PC master race of media.
Books are for nerds.
Yes.
I just wanted to reinforce that.
Cool.